I heard a story of a baby born in Bethlehem, a shining star to show the way. I heard a story of a young child worrying his mum as he stayed behind in the synagogue to speak to the elders all about scriptures. I heard a story of a young man who turned water into wine, raised people from the dead, and walked on water. I heard a story of a man who suffered and died on the cross, a man that rose again and lives today. You may have heard the same stories, but I'm here today to tell you that they're not just stories, but truths. How do I know? Because I've met this man. I have seen his miracles. I have experienced them for myself. I've lived in his joy and felt his love and peace overwhelm me as he felt my pain. And I've asked and I've been forgiven. Today, I'd like to introduce him to you. If you've never met him, I'd like to share a little of Jesus with you. Jesus, a man born in Bethlehem, the child who marveled the elders, the man that not only walked upon this earth, but overcame death for you and for me, to be set free from sin. All those years ago, but still for us now today, to have a relationship with one true living God, not just a man, not just a story, but our God. Jesus overcame death on the cross, making a way for us to live in freedom today. Our God lives in us, works through us. Jesus is alive. No other man in history has accomplished what Jesus did. Yes, we know people have been raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus himself from the dead. But these people were raised back into their earthly bodies to continue life on earth for a little bit longer. Jesus was different. He was raised from death, to ascend into heaven, into a spiritual body, that we might have full personal relationship with him and the assurance that we will, as believers of Christ, one day live in eternity with him. We have the assurance that he broke the power over death and no longer have to live in fear or worry about death. That's all amazing stuff. This week, we've been reading through Luke 22 to 24 and have heard how Jesus was arrested, crucified and rose again. We've read about the disciples, where seeing was believing for some of them, and how Jesus revealed himself on the road to Emmaus and loads of other places. The account of Jesus' body missing from the tomb on the third day is told in all four Gospels. But Luke omits to tell us how Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene. She was the woman, you remember, that washed Jesus' feet. So we read from John 20, so 11 to 17. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head, one at the foot. They asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away. I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, so I will get him." And he said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Can you imagine just turning around and having Jesus say your name and instantly you know it is Jesus that's speaking to you? That's a fantastic moment in your life. But Jesus said to her afterwards, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." And there's a significance in Mary going to the tomb early and taking the spices to prepare his body. She got to see Jesus first. Yes. Proverbs 8:17 from Amplified Version says, "I love those who love me. Those who seek me early and diligently will find me." And Mary certainly found him, but not as she expected to. Often Jesus will reveal himself to us differently than we expect to find him. And Mary was on a love mission that morning. First thought on her mind was to find Jesus. She was expecting to find a body to purify, but got the greatest surprise of all her life. She saw the living, breathing Jesus, obviously wanted to touch him. Imagine she would have been on her knees, but Jesus says, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father." There is a few thoughts and sermons on these words and where he was as he hadn't ascended yet. But I'd like to share something today that I read from Knowing Jesus' site. And it says, throughout the Old Testament times, the first sheaf of corn was always a reason for joy. And yet, before anyone was permitted to partake of its goodness and grace, it had to be weighed before the Lord. And in that manner, the Lord Jesus is a full and final representation of the first fruits of them that slept. No one, not even those who loved him deeply, were permitted to partake of him or even touch him. For he'd not yet ascended to present himself as a first fruit offering to the Father. And this is backed up by 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But Christ has indeed raised from the dead the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. For since death has come through a man, the resurrection of dead comes through man. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So Jesus' resurrection gives us hope after death. We all got that hope now because of Jesus. Everyone in the world has that hope because of Jesus. John 14:3 says, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to you for you and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There's the assurance that Jesus is coming back for us. And here, when he's talking to Mary after saying, don't touch me, he tells her, Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. He doesn't leave her with no direction, but he gives her purpose. Go instead to my brothers. Here Jesus is calling God his Father, our Father, his God, our God. He's no longer seen as a distant God of just one single people group, but is a loving Father with Jesus as his Son and us as his sons and daughters. He calls us brothers. We're all welcome now, all of us welcome to be part of that family. That's not just me, that's not just the people around me, it's everybody in the whole world. Jesus has died for everyone. Everyone is welcome to be part of his family now. So when we surrender our lives to God, not only join his family, but also because of what Jesus did, we can live in grace, in freedom, and accepted by God now. Having a relationship with him now, but also knowing that we've got a home and a place to go to after we die. Death's not the end, but the beginning of an eternal life with God. And when we ask God into our lives, we die to the old us and bring new life and begin a new life in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us in Romans 5:15-17 about God's gracious gift that he gave us on the cross. And this is from the New Living Translation. But there is great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. And even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And you don't hear me talking about sin very much, because I just want to let people know that God loves them and God welcomes them. But if God didn't love us as his children, then he's not going to worry whether we walk in sin or not. He's not going to worry if we're not his children. He's not going to worry about what we're doing. But if you think about how you look after your own children and how you worry about them, you want them to walk the right way. You want them to do the right things. So you teach them and guide them. Actually, God loves us so, so much that he is worried about us, and he has wants to lead us as a good father. Jesus died on the cross that we wouldn't have to walk in that sin anymore. And the way is open for us to be with Jesus now, way is open for us to see God now and to be in eternity with him later. But just because Jesus took sin in the world on the cross doesn't mean that we can go walking around doing whatever we please. Our love for Christ and our closeness to him enables us to do his will with joy. When we know Christ, you don't want to sin anymore. It's not part of our nature. Romans 6, 10 to 11 from the Passion Version tells us, "For by this sacrifice he died to sin's power once and for all, but he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One." If we're living in that union with Jesus, living for our Father's pleasure, why would we be afraid of anything? Afraid to live now or afraid for the future? A good friend recently said to me, "I'm not afraid of anything." And this brought tears to my eyes at the time, because at that moment I had fear. How was she able to stand on such a statement when I couldn't at that moment? It was her faith in Jesus, in whom he was and what he had done. It was her trust that knew he would be with her in everything. If God was with her, then she had nothing to fear. We're all able to stand in that faith, although sometimes we don't. And as we live now, we know we can live without that fear of death, because Jesus rose and sits on the right hand of God the Father now. But because Jesus has made a way for us, we can live with so, so much more as we're living now. I used to have a fear of many things, a fear of talking, a fear of making eye contact with people, a fear of saying what I wanted to say. But that fear has been taken away through Jesus. And actually, I walk in the strength now and the knowledge that I am a child of God. And if you get anything out of today, that's what I really want you to get. That you are all, if you've accepted Jesus into your life, that you are all children of God. And you can walk in the strength that means. And you can walk with no fear of doing whatever you are, whatever he's calling you to do, because you belong to his family and you are his children, and he loves you and guides you. Oh my goodness, that is just so, so important. I really just want you guys to get that. And then you will be able to say, "I am not afraid of anything," as my friend did. And my study Bible explains Romans 5, 15 to 17 like this. "He was born into Adam's physical family, the family line that leads to certain death. All of us have reaped the results of Adam's sin. We have inherited its fault, sinful nature, a tendency to sin, and God's punishment. Because of Jesus, however, we can trade judgment for forgiveness." Thank you, Jesus. "We can trade our sin for Jesus' righteousness. Christ offers us the opportunity to be born into his spiritual family, the family line that leads to eternal life. If we do nothing, we have death through Adam. But if we come to God by faith, we have life through Christ." Which family line do you belong to? But this talk's supposed to be about having no fear over death now that Jesus has rose again. But we have to understand that the love of Jesus and be able to walk out that no fear in our daily life. Fear is something that can hold us back from what God has for us. Fear will stop us growing spiritually. But also, if we have fear, we may never go and speak to that person that is lost or lonely, the person that is poor or diseased. and would never know God's healing and love for them because we were too afraid to approach them. But actually, I'm sure God will send someone if we don't go. But let's look at the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're never told that he was afraid, but grieved, distressed, and in anguish. All these are very strong feelings, and I would imagine that there would have been an amount of fear there as well, because Jesus was a man after all, and all the emotions and feelings that that entails. In Luke 22:42-44, Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. He wasn't afraid to do what the Father asked. "Your will, not my will." To put aside his earthly feelings, however strong they were, not afraid to ask for help, and an angel was sent to strengthen him. He knew exactly what lay ahead of him, but was willing to go through the pain for us, for the joy set before him, as it says in Hebrews 12. As followers of Christ, we need to learn to trust enough to follow him, even though our earthly body is saying no. We can face things full on like Jesus did if we follow his example. We don't have to do anything alone, especially if we're afraid. We can ask God for strength and trust that what lays ahead is for his good. It's not let fear hold us back from doing our Father's will or becoming the wonderful creation that he's made us all to be. So in conclusion, our Lord Jesus came to earth, a small baby. He grew up as a man, journeyed through life, performed miracles, called people to him, taught people about God, taught people about friendship and love. He did it all for you and he did it all for me. Then he willingly went to the cross, gave his life. Again, he did it for you, he did it for me. And he did it with no fear. He did it for the joy set before him. He did it knowing the pain that he would have to go through. God turned away when he died because it was too painful for him to see. But there was rejoicing after, when Jesus appeared to many, when he walked, when he saw Mary, when he saw the disciples, when he cooked fish by the sea. They're not just stories in the Bible. They're stories told down from generation to generation. God made man to raise and live as God again, so that we might know him, so that we might love him, so that we want to spend eternity with him, and we're able to spend eternity with him. So if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you would ask him into your life today. There is so much joy to be found. There is so much freedom to be walking in when you know him and his presence around you. And if you walk in fear during the day, or if you sleep in fear during the night, and you don't know, or you wonder, where am I going if I die, when I die, because we will all die, that's inevitable, then ask Jesus. So I pray no more fear, no more worry. I pray that we all can step into what Jesus has for us today. I pray that we can move and become the people that he knows that we can be. Because after all, what he's done on the cross, he's done to set us free. Amen.